So let's turn back to Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. This is the message I was going to preach on 2 weeks ago, but I had a 24-hour bug, and Malcolm Gardner stepped in with 2 hours notice to cover for me, and I was very grateful to Malcolm for that. It's still appropriate. I would have been preaching it between Christmas and New Year, when we're accustomed to looking back and maybe to looking forward as well. Well, we can still do that. Let's read again, though. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, says Paul, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you read these beautiful words describing lovely character traits and attributes, what do you feel as you look at yourself? Do you think, yes, I can see these things growing and developing in me? Or do you feel ashamed, and do you feel wistful and wish that there was more of that in you? Well, today we're going to take stock. Often the end of the year, beginning of a new year, is a time when people in business take stock. They do an inventory of what they have in stock, or of how their business is doing. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to try and do anything smart like make predictions for 2020. I was seeing one of my friends who was putting some stuff online, predictions for 2020, and I thought, well, you're setting yourself up for failure, really, if you try to predict what's coming in this year, because we haven't a clue. We have not got a clue. We can maybe try and extrapolate trends and so on, and we might be right, we might be wrong. And you know that world history can take unexpected turns very suddenly. So we're not going to try and make predictions. We're not going to review the year gone by. We're going to think about our own character today. We're going to do an audit of our own character. We're going to take stock of you and of me. So be prepared to shine a spotlight on yourself for the next 20 minutes. And why would we want to do that? Well, because being a Christian is not a random thing. It's not just a label. It's a life. Jesus calls us to follow him. Follow me, he says. And if we're following him, then that's going to look like something. It's not just going to be a haphazard affair. We're going to have a particular set of priorities, a particular look to the way we live. Our characters are going to develop in a particular way. And the way that they should develop is described there in verses 22 and 23, and again in the passage in Colossians we'll come to in a few minutes. The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to those who follow Jesus. And if we have the Spirit of Jesus in us, then he changes us. He comes in like a new householder coming into a house, who immediately changes things around. I'm just thinking, for some reason at this moment, of the first year I spent of life here in Plockton as an unmarried man. And the manse very much was a bachelor pad. And then Mrs. Rankin appeared on the scene. And one day I went out visiting for the afternoon. When I came back in, to my consternation, much had changed within the house. The new broom had swept clean, and much that was comfortable for my bachelorhood was swept away forever. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives in that kind of way. He is the boss, and he comes in to change us. And he's got a paradigm, a pattern he wants to work to, and that pattern is Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus. And to be like Jesus is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go through these different words, just one by one, very quickly. But let's look at ourselves step by step as we do that. We'll come back to love. We'll leave love to the end. So let's start with joy. Are you joyful this morning? Joy is not here about having a bubbly personality, because not all of us has that. Joy is knowing what God has done for you and being able to have joy because we're forgiven, because God's our Father, because we have eternal life. Even though our circumstances are sometimes grueling, we can still have joy in knowing these things. And perhaps today we need to take hold of these things in a fuller way. There is a kind of Highland trait, I think, where it's almost seen as being presumptuous to be joyful. And that's just wrong. Here it is, in black and white on the pages of the Bible, many times it says the Christian should be joyful. And to be joyful is to take hold of the things that God's given us and believe they really are for us. Jesus really did die for us. He really did shed his blood to pay for our sins. He really has risen from the dead and wants to share his life with us. Wants to share his inheritance with us. Wants us to be God's children with him. So, joy is an appropriate response to that. Do you have joy? Do you have peace? The next one. Peace is something that people are always trying to buy. When I was preparing this, which was a couple of weeks ago now, in the news at the time was the death of a man called Colin Weir. We would never have heard of Colin Weir from Ayrshire, except that he, along with his wife Christine, in 2011, won £161 million on the Euro Millions lottery. And he died at the end of last year. And he died in the process of divorcing his wife. And I felt very sad, just thinking about all that the world promises through money and how it doesn't deliver. Doesn't keep a man alive, doesn't keep a man's marriage together, doesn't deliver peace. And yet people are constantly trying to find peace through money, through stuff. And it doesn't work, because peace is found in relationship. You can have nothing and still have peace if your relationships are good, and especially your relationship with God. Peace in this context is to be reconciled to God, and as a result, to be content, your heart at rest. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace that money cannot buy, but which Jesus bought for you? Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. Sometimes we have to be in difficult circumstances or live with difficult people who test our patience. But to have faith in Christ is to know that even though your circumstances are difficult and they do try your patience, they won't be like that forever. God has a better future for you. So you can be patient, waiting for that, waiting for the harvest, as it were, having sown the seed. And difficult people, well, God helps us to see ourselves, and we know that we can be difficult people. And if we can be difficult, then we can be patient with others if they're being difficult with us. Patience. Do you have patience? What about kindness? Kindness is a response to God's kindness. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And do people around you then see the kindness of God in you? And the goodness of God, that's the next one. It's very easy to carry around in our hearts ill will towards people. But Jesus wasn't like that. See him with those who persecuted him. And his heart is all goodness towards them. He only wants their best. He trusts God to deal with people. He's not going to take out any kind of spite on them. Instead, he wants to do them good. And our hearts must be like that too. We trust God. If people are bad, if people do bad things, we trust God to deal with them. But we want to do them good. So in this inventory of character, can you see that goodness in your heart? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is where we can be trusted. God can be trusted. And that's why we can trust him and his promises and his word. Because he's faithful. He won't let us down. And if we are faithful, then other people can trust us. Are you a faithful person? People trust your word. They trust your character. They trust your promises. Have you been faithful with what you've been entrusted with in the year gone by? Have you been careful with the secrets, with the responsibilities people have given to you with the name of Jesus? Have you been careful with that? Faithful. Faithfulness. Gentleness. I think people read that and think of something weak, but it's not. It's the kind of trait that an adult shows in handling a newborn baby. The adult is strong. The baby is vulnerable and fragile. You have strength, but you don't exert it, or you might hurt the baby. You're gentle. You're strong, but you're gentle because you're handling a baby. Christians should be strong because we've got a relationship with God, and that should stabilize our lives. It should strengthen our lives. People around us are not like that. People around us are vulnerable. If you look around you, the people around you, they may look very confident. They may look very strong. But if they don't have God, if they don't have Jesus in their lives, they are so vulnerable. Their lives are precarious. At any moment, things can go badly wrong for them and they won't have anywhere to turn. They're vulnerable. There's so much of mental health issues today all around us. People are breaking down in mind because they're chasing empty promises in the world, because they're getting addicted to so many different things, because there are so many issues about expectation. Christians, we should not be like that. We're strong. We don't build our image up by what other people think about us, but because God loves us. We're not frightened of the future, because God's in the future for us. We're not chasing after empty things, because we've seen through them to their emptiness. We trust instead what God offers to us in Jesus Christ, which is solid and substantial. So we are gentle with the people around us because they're vulnerable. And then self-control. Well, of course, probably no better time of year to think about that than now, as we look back over the last couple of weeks and think about Christmas and New Year. Did we overindulge? We know that overindulgence is bad. Did we exercise self-control? Were we always ready to serve Jesus right throughout Christmas and New Year at any point? Or were we lacking in self-control, and did we lose our readiness to serve. The road in life has many wrong turnings, into addiction. Addiction is a huge problem today. And the followers of Jesus are careful to maintain self-control so that we don't lose our freedom to our screens or to substances or feelings or whatever. Self-control. Turn over with me to Colossians as well. There's a few more beautiful things to look at there. Colossians chapter 3. In our audit. So let's audit some more things there. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. There's another one. Compassion. Thinking about this, you can see compassion in the world. People are very compassionate in politically correct ways these days. The Christians are not like that. We don't live by political correctness. We live with compassion for those in spiritual need. So you'll see in the world people celebrating the sinful lifestyle of someone. Christians instead have compassion on them. Someone with a sinful lifestyle is not to be celebrated. They're in trouble. Deep trouble with God. They're in darkness. We have compassion on people that are in need. Again, in the world, sometimes people say, I want just to lock them up and throw the key away. But Christians see the need that there is in someone who is condemned by society. As someone who is precious nevertheless to God, we have compassion. Our compassion is different to the world's compassion. We also have humility. Verse 12, compassion, kindness. We've thought about humility. What is humility? Well, humility is to a great deal realism. In our world today, we keep being told we can be anything we want to be. And of course, that's nonsense. No, you can't. Of course you can't be anything you want to be. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives to deliver us from such nonsense, so that we can live in the presence of God, who gives us a right perspective on us, so that we can know what we can be and what we can't be. So we don't have delusions about our importance, nor do we make less of ourselves than we should. We can see how far we've come, but also how far we have to go. We can recognize where we are in comparison to others and know our place. Humility is having a realism about ourselves before God. Again, we audit that in our lives. How do we score in humility? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Carrying on through the list, gentleness, patience, we've done these, bearing with each other, patience. And then it comes to forgiveness. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's very easy to go through life picking up grudges. Christians are marked by their freedom from grudges, that we let go and love people. Again, people are carrying guilt around with them all the time. And it's no surprise then if they inflict guilt on other people. But we don't. We don't carry the past. We're forgiven people. And we know the cost of forgiveness too, that Jesus died for our sins. So how, knowing that Jesus died for our sins, can we withhold forgiveness from others? Even though it costs us at times dearly. So in our inventory of character, of grace and character, think about the people around you in your life. When they fail, do you remind them of their failures? When they hurt you, do you want to hurt them back?
Or are we forgiving because the Lord forgave us? Thankfulness is the next one. So forgive. Verse 16. Well, we'll come back to love again. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. We thought about peace. And be thankful. Thankfulness. It's another beautiful character trait in the Christian. We can focus on what we don't have. And it's so easy to do that today because we know what other people have. We see it all the time. It's portrayed to us. And we're getting advertisements telling us what we could have all the time. But instead, we're thankful. Because we have things that no advertisement can promise us. We have things that the world can't give us. The kingdom of heaven is ours. All things are ours. The true Christian then is known by thankfulness, which goes along with the joy that we thought about. So are we thankful today? Thankful for what we do have in Jesus Christ. Thankful for God's gifts to us. And finally, there's love. Verse 14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love. What is love? So often it's portrayed as a feeling. But true love is not a feeling. True love might feel bad or it might feel good. True love is not about feelings. It's not just temporary either. It's not like a fling or a romance. True love is a long-term commitment that often requires sacrifice towards sometimes people who are not worthy of it, like ourselves. God loves us. And it's a long-term sacrificial commitment shown at the cross. And God maintains that love to us. I don't think it felt good for Jesus to die on a cross for us, but it was loving. And it was certainly sacrificial. And it certainly wasn't for those who deserved to have him die. Love is wonderfully rich and beautiful in our lives when we are like Jesus. Love is, as Paul says, and we often read this, I often read it at weddings particularly, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Never fails. God never stops loving us, even if we provoke him. And so we should love one another and even love our enemies. So we've done a quick look at character. An opportunity has been given to you and to me to do an inventory of ourselves. I hope that you were realistic about it. Sometimes we can be people who focus on the negatives. I don't want you to go out of the service today with your head between your knees kind of thing, with a hangdog expression, because I've got so far to go. I'm nothing like what the Bible described I should be like. Don't do that. I hope you found things to encourage you. I hope you found evidence of God being at work in your life and changes that are taking place. And if you did find areas where you felt deficient, well, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're not showing that fruit, it's God you're resisting. It's His Spirit you're resisting. Submit to Him. Pray that He will come into your life in those areas of character where you feel a struggle. If you struggle to forgive, if you struggle to be thankful, if you struggle to have joy or peace in your life, let the Holy Spirit in. Pray that He will come and work in your life, and that He will work in a way that will strengthen your character in the areas where you're weak. Don't be surprised if you find challenges that address the very weaknesses you have. If you want to strengthen a muscle, then the way to strengthen it is to put it to work. It has to be resisted, and it has to fight against that resistance. If you want to become more patient, then God will bring things into your life that call you to be patient, that challenge you, that make you be tempted to lose your temper, to be impetuous and impulsive. But patience comes through testing and everything else. Remember the way God works? Jesus described it. Every branch that bears fruit, my Father prunes, he says, so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning isn't always a pleasant thing if God is lopping bits off your life, as it were, that are not good for you. You might not feel comfortable about that, but it's so that you may bear fruit. Because God has in view your character's perfection. He wants you to be like Jesus. And that's His goal. If you have received Him into your life, He's working to that great end. Because He wants His family all together with Him. And His family are all going to look in character like Jesus, perfect, full of love, joy, peace and patience. He's working in that end, to that end in your life. Submit to Him. Work with Him. Let Him work in you. As the year proceeds, be filled with the Holy Spirit and bear His fruit. Amen.